It's good to be with you here tonight and have the opportunity to preach and open up the Word of God. And you can take your Bibles with me and turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and we'll read a few verses here in this chapter and focus in on a particular part of that. But Galatians chapter number 4. And let's begin reading. You can follow along with me in verse number 1 and following. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, deferreth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'd like you to notice with me a particular phrase here in verse number 4 that really jumped out at me as I was looking at this passage recently. And that's right there in the beginning of verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come. And this is speaking about what we celebrate this time of year, Christmas. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that phrase there, the fullness of the time, speaks of the fact of something where the time, the right time had now come. The time was now full for God to accomplish his purpose. I'd like you to think with me of something of things, times in your life where there was a particular or event or occasion that you would look forward to with great anticipation. And I think we all can think of different things, and especially as we think about Christmas, especially when, for a young child, there's something they look forward to with great anticipation. All right. They, also look forward to their birthday. And something I know with our children, especially Elliot, he's really into counting down numbers and wants to know how many days until his next birthday. And as we getting close to Christmas, wants to know how many more days till Christmas. So that, you know, they, of course, they're anticipating some special gifts. And but we all look forward to that time with anticipation of, and we have fond memories of time with family, of great memories that we've made in the past. And looking forward to that festive time that we celebrate each year. And there's other events in our life like that, like birthdays. Perhaps, you know, looking forward to when you turn 16 so that you can finally get your driver's license and start driving. Perhaps it's graduation. When that time finally comes, when you're done with school and you think you finally put that all behind you, but not really. Or perhaps it might be a wedding, getting married, something, a particular event in life, maybe that you're looking forward to with great anticipation. Maybe as a younger person, you think about that in the future, or, you know, perhaps you're engaged and there's that exciting event. For another example might be, you know, having a child. You find out that you're expecting, and there's that 9-month period that you have to go through of waiting, looking forward, anticipating that moment when the child's going to be born and you're going to get to see them for the very first time. You know, especially if it's your first child, there's great anticipation for that. And for each of these different events, there is an important time of preparation that must be fulfilled in order before that event can take place. Each of these things I mentioned, you know, a birthday or Christmas, it only comes by once a year. And there's, you know, a period of time that has to be fulfilled before you can celebrate your birthday or, you know, get to have Christmas again. And, you know, same with graduation or reaching a certain point in life. There's a time of preparation, of work that must be accomplished in order to reach that point in life. And if we shortcut that process, there can be serious consequences or a missing out of all that was intended. You know, if that baby is born prematurely, there can be serious consequences in that life. He could die. You know, if we get ahead of God's plan, God's perfect timing in our life, You know, whether it's for marriage or for graduation or things like that, we try to take a shortcut and get ahead of God's plan. Guess what? There can be negative consequences. There has to be a maturity that is accomplished in a person's life as well before those things can take place. And as we look at this passage and are thinking about this time of year, this phrase, the fullness of the time was come. There was a time that had to be fulfilled. There was requirements that had to be accomplished in order for God to send forth his son. And we're going to look at exactly what that phrase means and what was the fullness of time that was accomplished for God to send forth his son, and what were the results that took place. So we're going to look at three aspects of what this phrase means. And we find this phrase appear two times in the Bible, here in Galatians, and also right over in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul uses this phrase again in verse number 10. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And here Paul is speaking about the present dispensation that has been inaugurated that we are living in, and what God's purpose is in this age to bring all things together into one in Christ. And we see the prophetic timetable moving toward that event. We're going to talk about that a little more later. But as we think about the fullness of time being accomplished for God to send forth his son, there's, first of all, a human perspective that we see of God's divine timing, God's divine fulfillment in human events. And when I talk about a human perspective, I'm talking about the political, spiritual, social events that were taking place that were perfectly brought together for God's son to be born. Now, what were those events? Well, first of all, we see the political events situation that the Jews were at that time under Roman rule. And there was a great anticipation or looking for the Messiah, for the Lord to come and to deliver them. And there was a great hunger and thirst among the Jewish people for that deliverer. They thought Jesus was going to come, whoever the Messiah was going to be, that he would come and that he would deliver them from Roman rule, that he would conquer Rome and place the Jews back where they needed to be. So there was that great anticipation and looking forward to that. Another aspect that we see that prepared for the coming of the Lord was that we call it the Pax Romana, all right, the Peace of Rome. The fact that all of the known world at that time was under Roman control and Roman rule. And as a result, there was a political stability in one sense that was brought that allowed, once the Lord came and accomplished his work here on earth, that allowed for a quick spread of the gospel throughout the known world. I mean, could you imagine if there were a very divided world at that time, would make it, that was warring with each other, would make it very difficult for the gospel to spread from one people to the next. So we see that there was a preparation in the Roman situation, that there was a worldwide peaceful period that was taking place at that time under Rome. And also, this allowed for a traveling system to be much more easily accomplished. All right, they were into building roads. The saying was, all roads lead to Rome. But they were building roads that would allow their armies to travel, but it would also allow the gospel to travel more easily. We can imagine how quickly we can travel today with our modern technology, But even back then, without that development at that time, the spread of the gospel would have been greatly hindered. And so here we have, we see again that preparation in the fullness of time of human events to prepare for the spread of the gospel. Also, under Roman rule and Greek culture, there was a common language of Greek. And as a result of the influence of Greek culture, Greek was a worldwide language that was known to some extent by many people at that time, which again allowed for a quick spread of the gospel, a demonstration that the Lord was timing things just right for the coming of the Messiah. We also see that the Roman military, as part of their system, would conscript men from different countries that they had conquered and bring them to Rome, and there they would, learn Roman culture and things like that. But as a result, men from all over the world, different countries, different cultures, were all brought together where people like the Apostle Paul could witness to many different people groups in a single location by coming into contact with different Roman guards and Roman soldiers. And those men, no doubt, eventually went back to their homelands and were able to spread the gospel. So we see there again a preparation for the coming of Christ. We also see a disillusionment with spiritual disillusionment with a lot of the idolatry that was going on in that time. Began to just see just how empty that was, both in the Roman and Greek culture. This idolatry, really couldn't satisfy. And a spiritual disillusionment that would make people ready to hear the truth. And also part of some of their, religions were looking for some type of savior God that would come to be the savior, to deliver people. And so we see all these things working together in the human, political, social realm to prepare for the coming of the Lord. That time of preparation, the fullness of time, that at just the right time, God would send forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So we see that fullness of time from a human perspective, that it was just the right time. But we also see from a divine perspective that there was a spiritual preparation that had to take place for the fullness of time to come. And we see that here in the context of Galatians chapter number 4. And we'll look at these previous verses again. What it's talking about here is the bondage that that we were in, that we were under the law before Christ came. Now look there at verse number 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, deferreth nothing from his servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, we see this, the illustration here again of tutors and governors, about a child being under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And I was using it as one of the illustrations at the beginning, someone looking forward to graduation, okay, that time that they're going to, receive their diploma after they put in all that work and all that time of preparation and also the maturing process that takes place in their life. Well, here, Paul's using that, and the tutors and governors that it's talking about here, we can actually look back to the previous chapter at the end of Galatians chapter 3, and we see that the schoolmaster was the law. In verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." All right, so the law was there to show us that we needed Christ. Now, for the Jews at that time, it was to show them that they could not attain unto righteousness by the works of the law. It was to show them that the law could not accomplish what only Christ could. The law could not atone for their sins. No matter how many sacrifices they made, no matter how many good works they did, the law could never justify. And so it was to show the failure to attain righteousness by the law. And also, we see back in Galatians chapter 3 that the law could never justify. You know, a common misconception sometimes that people have is that Old Testament saints somehow were justified under the system of the law, under the works of the law. But the Bible makes clear that that's not true. They weren't under a different system of work salvation than we are today. And we see that in several verses here in Galatians. All right. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. Paul here says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If there were any possible way for us to attain to righteousness by the law, then Christ's death was vain. It was empty. It was pointless. And that would be a blasphemous thing to say that, oh, Christ's death, that's meaningless, doesn't really have any bearing on me. It wasn't really needed. All right, we see that righteousness could not come by the law. Look at, again, Galatians 3 and verse number 11. It says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now look down with me again at verses 18 through 22. It says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions. All right, in other words, it was added to show us our sinfulness, our failure to attain unto God's righteousness. And keep reading there. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. All right, so we see that it's impossible for life to be given by the law. Righteousness could never be attained by those means. So the fullness of time, all right, was to demonstrate, first of all, to the nation of Israel, that they could never attain to the righteousness of God by the works of the law. All right, for the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. There always had to be another offering, another sacrifice. That payment was never complete. And the purpose of that was to point them to Jesus. Point them to the one that would come to deliver them, that would ultimately atone for the sins of mankind. But we see that the law wasn't just for the nation of Israel, okay? The law was to show, to condemn all men under sin. That's what we see in Galatians 3:22. It says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All right, so all men were shown their failure under the system of the law. There was no way that we could ever attain unto righteousness. So we see this divine perspective, okay, the fullness of the time, that time of had to be fulfilled to show man that he could never be justified by the works of the law. Also, the third perspective that we see is the prophetic perspective of the fullness of time. And that is the fact that there were specific prophecies given that had to be fulfilled in a specific way and at a specific time. Turn with me to Daniel chapter number 9. Here we find that the Bible gives a specific prophecy, a specific timeline for when Jesus was to come. All right, so the fullness of time. There had to be a specific time that had to be fulfilled, that fullness of time for the Messiah to come. And here we, in Daniel 9, we find the 70 weeks prophecy. Many of you are familiar with it. Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. And here we find the prophecy of the 70 weeks. All right, this are 70 sevens. There were 70 periods of 7 years that were determined upon the nation of Israel. We're not going to go through every verse in depth here, but you can read through it yourself and study it. All right, there was a prophecy of 70 weeks or 70 periods of 7 years. All right, that comes to 490. And it gives a specific timeline for when these 70 weeks would be accomplished. All right, and in verse number 25, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. All right, so there we have 69 weeks. All right, and it was from when that specific decree was given under, I believe, by Artaxerxes. And we can actually look, you know, and look at the timeline and see the fulfillment of this prophecy. All right, these 490 years. So there was this the period of 69 weeks. And look at verse 26. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." All right, so here we have a specific prophecy for when the Messiah would be cut off. Okay, referring to when Jesus would be crucified. So there was a specific period, the fullness of time, that had to be fulfilled. All right, a prophetic timeline. And there's other prophecies also that maybe didn't have a specific timeline, but there had to be specific events that came to place. For example, Luke chapter 2, we find the decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. All right, and as a result of that, Mary and Joseph had to come back to their hometown of Bethlehem, all right, the city of David, because they were descendants of David. And we read the prophecy over in Micah 5:2 that, "Behold, thou Bethlehem Ephratah," that was going to be the place where the Messiah was going to be born. So again, we see this fullness of time, that just the right time that God ordained that his son would come to be born and to deliver us from the curse of sin, from the curse of the law. And lastly here, I'd like us just briefly to look at the purpose that was accomplished here at the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come. All right, and in verse number 5 of Galatians 4, it says that we, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. All right, so here we see that when this fullness of time was come, God's plan was able to be fulfilled to redeem them that were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. We also see over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, where it also talks about this dispensation of the fullness of times, that part of God's purpose in this is to gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. And we see this purpose and this plan be carried out during this present dispensation. All right, God has opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. And at the end of this period, God's attention is going to be turned back into Israel for that final 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. But the culmination of all this is to bring together into one, all right, all the people of God. And one day we are all going to be together with the Lord. And we're going to experience that joy. And we see, as we look through Revelation, that culmination of God's eternal purpose. And we look at several other passages, though. But Jesus speaks about the fact that he was going to gather together into one all things into himself. So we see that God's plan was to redeem those that were under the law, to deliver us from the bondage of sin, and to bring together into one all things together into himself. So some applications we can bring from this is, first of all, that we can be assured that the future promises of Scripture will be fulfilled in God's perfect timing. You know, we can look around the world around us and perhaps get worried about, you know, how near we are to the end. But we can know, first of all, that God's perfect timetable will be fulfilled according to His purpose. And that we don't have to get ahead of God's plan. You know, some people are already living in the tribulation period, all right? And they're living as if that's already taken place. All right, we can know and understand when God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. And we can rest in that. Don't have to live worried about that. Obviously, we can be aware and see the signs of the times, but I'll recognize that God's perfect timeline will be fulfilled. Secondly, like the Galatians here that Paul is warning, we must be careful that we don't fall back into the bondage of the law. All right? And that's what the book of Galatians really is dealing with, is Paul is confronting them that they were falling back under the bondage of the law. And as we read there in the verses following verses 5, if you jump down with me to verse 9, it says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." So here Paul was worried that they were again going to turn back to the law as a means of justification, as a means of salvation. And Paul warns them against that. And we as well must be guarded against that in our own mind. All right, looking to the works that we do. Obviously, we know that we're saved, but looking towards works that we do or rules that we obey as somehow that those are going to merit our favor with God, or that those are going to earn us a special favor. All right, God's grace is unmerited. All right, we need to recognize that. And it's God's grace, though, that enables our life to be transformed to be what it ought to be. And so we have to have that order in place, all right? That it's God's grace that transforms and enables us. It is not our good works that merit God's grace. And lastly, from this, we need to be motivated to be part of God's plan to see all men brought to salvation. Now, you might say, well, I mean, everybody's not going to get saved. I mean, we already know that. But that's not what God's plan is. And if you don't believe me, turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 4. It says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And the context here is about them praying for governors and those in authorities that they could lead a quiet and peaceful life. And ultimately, it was for the purpose, for the spread of the gospel. All right? Because God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, obviously we recognize that God is omnipotent. God is in control. There's two aspects of that. You know, we can see that God's divine purposes are going to be fulfilled, all right, such as His prophetic timeline that He has given. But then we also see the other side of what He wills to be accomplished, all right? God has given us a free will, but God's will is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And our purpose, our motivation should be to be part of God's plan in seeing all men, as many as possible, brought into that unity of fellowship with Jesus Christ so that in eternity future, we all can experience that together. And, You know, really, as we look towards God's fulfilling of different events in biblical prophecy and history, right now we know that we are living in this period called the time of the Gentiles, and Romans 11 tells us that this is the period until the fullness of the Gentiles become it. All right, there's a fullness that, like we're talking about this fullness of time, there's a fullness of souls that's going to be saved that God wants to see accomplished. And we can be part of seeing that purpose accomplished. So our application for us tonight, be assured that God's future promises of Scripture will be fulfilled according to His perfect timing. That we be careful not to fall back into a law of mindset. And thirdly, that we be motivated to be part of God's plan to bring all men to salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you, in your perfect timing, sent Jesus Christ, Lord, to deliver us, to save us. And I pray that we would be motivated by that to accomplish your will and your work in these days. We pray this in your name. Amen.